the Mesoinanim, they wanted Basar. So we have here from the Eitzer Pelois, a very beautiful section on the topic of Basar, but there was another time to prepare a little more for that in the meat, but there's another topic which we learned very recently in Tehillim, in the morning, and I want to elaborate upon it. Because I learned a lot of new things about this. And I didn't say any, most of this I did not say in the morning when we learned the Mizmar. And maybe we'll just spend some time that we have left, 40 minutes, to talk about this topic. And that is, we learned not that long ago, the sugya of the Magen David. What is the real Magen David? That's not that. The real Magen David, the menorah, right? Very good. So we learn Mizmar Samach Zayin, Mizmar 67, Lamatzeach Beneginois Mizmar David, right? Mizmar Samach Zayin. Let me put this on mute over here. We got some feedback. Okay, Mizmar Samach Zayin Lanatzeach Beneginos Mizmar Shir. Now, why is this very relevant? Because this week's parsha begins with Behaloischa Es Haneros El Mul Pnei Hamenora Yeiru Shivas Haneros. Parsha Behaloischa begins with Aaron lighting the menorah. And once already it says that Aaron lights the menorah, the pasuk goes on and tells you, V'zeh Maaseh HaMenorah, Ad Recha, Ad Pircha, Nikshahi. And it goes through a lot of the details of the menorah. There's so many questions to ask about why is the parsha of the menorah, what is it doing here in the middle of nowhere? Bamidbar, in Parshas Behaloischa, in between the Masois, they're about to travel. The Golem, we have learned more about the Golem this week. We learned about the Shofaris of Moshe in order to gather the people, all the signals, when they should move, when they should stop. The Amud Ha'esh, Amud Ha'onon, Vayihi bin Soy Ha'oroin, about Pesach Sheni. I mean, what is going on over here in the beginning of the parasha? Of Daber el Aaron v'yamarta elo v'haloischa sanero esl mul p'nei ha'menorah yiru shva sanero esl yaskein Aaron el mul p'nei ha'menorah helonero secha. So Rashi says that it's connected back to the last week's parasha, the Chanukas ha'mishkan, or really more specifically the Chanukas ha'mizbeach, and when Aaron saw all of the Nesiim bring these elaborate korbanos, and he and his tribe brought nothing, he was sad. He had chalisha sadas. So Hashem said to Aaron, what you're going to do is even greater than what they're going to do. Shalacha gedoyla mishalachem, your portion is even greater. That doesn't really answer the question. Because if that's the case, it should be in last week's parasha. Because according to Rashi, Ba'alois ches haneirois is really Aaron's country. How does it answer the question? Aaron is doing a service, the Nesim, they're doing a service. They provided wagons, they provided korbanos. So you're also doing a service. You're providing illumination. Ner lama'ar. But if that's the case, if this is the hashlama of the Chanukas HaMishkan, it really belongs in the previous parsha. The maftir of last week's parsha should be Behalois Ches HaNeiros, because it's only a short, there's only a few more psukim. If this really is the hashlama of the Chanukas HaMishkan, so let this little section be in Parshas Nosoi and not the beginning of Parshas Behaloischa. There are too many questions. What is it doing here? Why is it being repeated again? We already learned all of the details of the menorah in Parshas Tetzaveh, Parshas Truma, and again in Vayakel, and we had it again before, we had it again in other places as well. We're not reviewing any of the avoid of any of the other kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Mishkan. We're not discussing the Shulchan. We're not discussing the Mizbeach HaZov, the Mizbeach HaNechayishas. Why did the Torah drop here, the Parsha of the Menorah, right in the beginning of Parshas Behaloischa? No. Chas v'shalom. The Parshas. No. Very important. The Christians broke up the Parakim. But it is only in the Messiah of Klal Yisrael how the parashiyos are broken up. The parashiyos, there are 54 parashiyos. This is sacred beyond sacred. The parokim, the chapters, were done by the Christians. And the aliyos, the seven aliyos, that's another topic of discussion. Who exactly made the aliyos? It's a mystery. Who made the aliyos, and what is the, to what degree is the aliyos, the breakpoints of the seven aliyos, are they sacred? If you when can you violate the breakpoints? Can you not? There are three different elements. There are the parashiyos, the 54 parashiyos, there are the seven aliyos, how they are broken up, and there are the parokim. Now the two ends are mikotze lakotze. The parashiyos, the 54 parashiyos, where they start, this goes back 1,000 years, even more. This goes back from the very beginning. This is Kodesh Kodashim, the Sidra, the 54 parashiyos. Nothing to talk about. Now, the parokim, forget about. That is Christian influence, beyond a shadow of a doubt. The seven aliyos, where we stop for the seven aliyos, this is a big mystery. Some claim it was written, it was done by a pashut person, a very simple person who was a malame tinoikos, like a very pashut person, an elementary school rebbe. He broke up the parasha, and for some reason beyond our understanding, what he did has remained with us for the last who knows how many years. There have been people throughout history who have challenged where these aliyos are and feel that changes should be made, but no one has been successful in tampering. No, not totally. There have been some changes that have been made even recently. But basically these breakpoints are sacred, even though there are some major, major questions as to why the aliyah ends here and not there. I once came across a kuntres, where a person, it's incredible what this fellow did, he must be a genius. He went and he basically wrote for every parasha a new seven aliyahs, where he challenged every single aliyah where it ends, and he put together seven aliyahs where he feels the proper place where they should come to, where should he conclude. And it was a kuntres, and it seemed to me that it was a little bit disrespectful how it was written. And you begin to wonder who exactly would have the chutzpah to do something like this. Whatever it is. In any event, now, so we have over here, this is a very tough question. Why is the parish of the menorah once again repeated? It's repeated many times. All the details. We don't repeat anything else about what the Levim carried. Why is it the beginning of Parashas Bahaloyscha? Why is it not, at the very least, it should be the end of Parashas Nosai? So I want to get to that at the very, very end. But before we get to that, let's review what we learned in the morning. We learned Tehillim about the Menorah. Mizmor Samach Zayin. Mizmor Samach Zayin, from time immemorial, there's a tradition, the Rokeach talks about this, there's a legend, and again, all the Gedolim, they talk about this. It's the Mogen David. When David went to war, David had a shield, a physical shield. On his physical shield, this is the legend, he etched or wrote or embossed the image of the menorah of the Mishkan, or the Mikdash. The Mishkan then, it was the Mishkan. And he etched the image of the Mishkan in the tzura of this mizmar. This mizmar has 8 psukim. Besides the first pasuk, each one of the 7 psukim, the last 7 psukim, represents one branch of the menorah. And the words of the pasuk were written in the form of a branch of the menorah. And there's a whole discussion what you write on the bottom, on top. If you go to a shul, many, many shuls today, even the Litvish shuls, they have, by the Amud, an image of the menorah written in the tzura of Mizmar Samach. Somewhere they have this image written along each branch. Mizmar Samach Zayin, Lanatzeach Beniginois, Mizmar Shir. And this, the legend is, was etched upon the Mogen of David. When David went to war to kill his enemies, to protect his people, he went with the image of the menorah, this mizmar, as an inspiration to succeed in battle. Okay, now, I came across some very interesting things about this. The first is the review we learned is how many words are there in this mizmar. Well, in the last seven psukim, there are exactly 49 words. And according to the Rokeach, I believe, these 49 words correspond to the different components of the menorah. What are the components of the menorah? We know that there are 22 givim, 22 cups on the menorah. Under each ner, there are three cups. On the bottom, there are four. There are a total of 22 givim on the menorah. There are 11 kaftorim. It translates that as knobs, balls, on the menorah. There are seven flowers etched into the menorah. And there are seven neros. Neros means receptacles on the top. The receptacle on the top to be mekabel the shem is called a ner. According to some opinions, those neros were even detachable. But even if they're not, there are seven neros. When you add up the numbers, 22, 11, 7, and 7, 49. It adds up. So what mistake did I make then? I made a mistake then. How many, there were nine kaftarim maybe? I think there are nine. There are nine. How many flowers are there on the middle? There are seven. There are seven for the seven branches. Seven on the base. Eight, right. There are nine. I made a mistake. There are not seven flowers. There are nine flowers. There are nine perochim. There are seven branches. Each branch has on the top a kaftar, a flower. And then on the bottom, then on the very, very bottom, there's one. And then in the middle, there's another one. So there are nine. I made a mistake. There are nine flowers. Nine flowers, 22 cups, 11 kaftorim, seven neros, 49. That's exactly how many components there are on the menorah. 49 words, 49 components of the menorah. They correspond one against the other. What else? And what about the first pasuk? The first pasuk, which has four, that refers to the bazichin. There were two like shovels, and there were two tweezers or tongs, whatever they're called, tongs and shovels. The malkocheha and machtoiseha. In addition to the menorah came with its own kalim, the machtoiseha, and these two items, and it's written in plural. So it's two times two. That is what corresponds to the first pasuk of this mizmar. There are four words in the first pasuk of this mizmar corresponding to the four kalim that service the menorah. And then there are 49 words in the remainder of the mizmar corresponding to the 49 components of the mizmar. And there are seven, there are seven branches, of course, and there are seven psukim, and on each pasuk was written one pasuk. Okay, that's the basic way that we learned the mizmar. Now let's elaborate a little bit more. This blew my mind. This idea really, really opened up for me a whole new appreciation for the Yom Tov of Chanukah. What is Chanukah all about? There are really two parts to Chanukah. There are two. Let's look at two elements of Chanukah. There were wars. Okay, the Al-Hanisim, the Al-Hamil-Chomois. Mulchama. Shosis Lavasenu, Bayamim Mohim Azmanazem, Bimim Matis Yobin, Yoichon Koingel, Hashmo, Ivanov Kishon, Malchus Yavin, Rashalam Kishol, Leashkin Teresecha. And what does it go on to say? They fought. There was blood. There was real blood. They fought. Yehuda HaMakabi. Yehuda and his brothers, the five children of Matis Yohu, and all of their friends, and there were major wars. There was real battle, and they won. They lost also. They eventually they all died. They were all killed in battle. They all killed in battle eventually, over the years. And what did the miracle culminate in? In winning the battles, they retook the Beis Hamikdash. They restored the sanctity of Klal Yisrael in their battles. And it culminated in being metahar the mikdash, building a new mizbeach, and then coming to light the menorah, and there's no shemen. So the menorah, the miracle was there was no shemen that was tahar. They only found pach echad shel shemen sheyamunach b'chasam shel kohen gadol. Oh, a miracle, 8-day miracle lasted for 8 days, the Chanukah miracle. does the menorah have anything to do with the battle? L'chayre not. That's how I never, until yesterday, that's how I always understood. Hayaluchud v'hayaluchud. Yeah, tahara. The menorah is the menorah ha-tahara. It's all about Torah. Torah, Torah, Torah. We have here in this room the real Adiri ha-Torah. These are the real Adiri ha-Torah. Baruch is here. Mark is here. Kalman. These are the real Adiri ha-Torah. Chanukah is all about Torah. And the menorah is Torah. So Torah, Torah, Torah. Mulchama? No, there's a Mulchama. Hayaluchud v'hayaluchud. People who went to fight in the war. Holy people, tzaddikim, people that were loyal to the cause, they gave up their life for Klal Yisrael, they fought the battles. There were battles, and it was only because they were observant of Torah mitzvahs, and they were loyal to the Torah, and Hashem brought about, the miracle came through the menorah to show that it was because of the Torah. That's how I always looked at it. But it's much deeper than that. When they went to battle, this is the legend. Can I prove to you all these things? This is what it says in the Oitzah Plois by Rabbi Zicherman. He cites most of these things with sources, old sources. And this is an incredible chiddush to me. I can't get over this. Is that when they went to battle, Yehuda HaMakabi and the Maccabeans, when they fought, they, by the way, they were not from Shevet. They were not from Shevet Yehuda. We all know that. They were from Shevet Levi. They really weren't the ones that were supposed to be fighting the battles and being involved in Jewish leadership, but because they filled in, they took on the role of Malchus. The Malchus of Klal Yisrael is David. When David went to fight battles, what went in front of David? The Magen David. He had a shield. He held up in his hand a massive shield. Wonder how much it weighed. Okay, the shield. And on David's shield, what did David write? Well, David wrote the Mizmar. So David wrote on his shield this Mizmar as his inspiration in the Tzura of the Menorah. That's what he wrote on the shield. He wrote on the shield the Menorah. And he fought the battles. So his, not necessarily his descendants, but Klal Yisrael, the Maccabees, when they went and they fought in the tradition of David. On their shields, they also had the Magen David. They also wrote the Psukim of the Menorah in the form of the Menorah to fight. The sign of a Jewish warrior was a Jew holding a shield, and on the shield was the Menorah, the Tzura of the Menorah, the Psukim. This was the constant reminder that when we're fighting for Hashem. It's a Melchemes Hashem. And our inspiration is the Torah, which is rooted in the symbol of the menorah. And the psukim that he wrote are psukim which represent of the conquest of the Umay Sa'ilam, and they're going to one day acknowledge the greatness of Hashem. So when the Maccabees fought, they fought with shields which had written on them the menorah. The menorah as the tradition of David. So is there any reason why it's a wonder that when they finally won the war and conquered everyone, won the battle, and took back the Beis HaMikdash, and lit the menorah, it's not too different. They, now, when we won the battle, it's the same menorah. When we fought the battle, we fought with the shield, and written on the shield, not just written, the psukim, was the tzur of the menorah. Now that we've succeeded and conquered our enemies, so what do we do now? We light the menorah. We just, nochamal, we embrace the menorah. The menorah was with us when we fought our battles. It was on our shield. Now that the battle is over, so we just embrace the menorah in a different form. In its original form, by lighting the menorah. Oh, but there's no oil? Whoever stopped that, that's not a problem. Just because there's no oil, Hashem and Yadlik, miracle, we have Shemen. So it's not, Chanukah miracle, there's the menorah. And there are Muhammad's. Al Hanisim are the battles. You light the mitzvah, Lahalik Ner Shal Chanukah. Very nice. Why the menorah? Oh, because the menorah is Torah, 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 Torah. No! The menorah is the battle. The menorah was the mogein of the battle. When you go to war, a mogein, we discuss this, can be both offensive and defensive. This was the tool of war, the menorah. So when the war is over, we celebrate the menorah. It's the same thing. It's all integrated. I never appreciated that when they went to battle, the Maccabees, they had on their shields had a menorah. Who would imagine? Who would ever think they had a menorah? Why would they have a menorah? You go to war, you have whatever you have. You have your MK, what is it called? You have your weapons. You have your weapons. Their weapon was the menorah, the Mogen David. So when the war was won, they embraced the weapon, the tool of their success. They celebrated the weapon. How did they celebrate the weapon? By lighting the menorah. Oh, what a disappointment. There's no oil. Hashem says, don't worry about it. I'll take care of that for you. It's the same. It's all one and the same. The menorah of the Mogen with the Chanukah miracle. Okay, that's one thing I want to bring out. Another thing I want to bring out. In this Mizmar says, Samach Zayin, there are seven psukim. And the seven psukim correspond to the seven branches. Now the menorah, the second to last branch, was called the Ner Maravi. Okay, this is Machlokes. Which one is the Ner Maravi? So according to the more popular opinion, the Ner Maravi was the second to last branch. Why? What happened to the second to last branch? It was a Chanukah miracle every day when the second to last branch. They only put enough oil for it to last, Me'erev ad boiker, for one night, but miraculously, it remained lit 24/7. That's the one that they started with, and they used that ner to light all over again, to light it for another cycle. And Chazal comment on the miracle that the ner Maravi remained lit 24/7. It was Eidus Shehashechina Shoira B'Yisrael. The fact that it remained lit was Eidus Shehashechina Shoira B'Yisrael. It's a miracle. Now, in the Mizmor, it is very interesting. There are seven. We learned this only Mamasha last week. There are seven psukim. What is the pasuk of the second to last pasuk, which corresponds to the second to the Ner Maravi? The pasuk is Eretz Nasina Yivula. The land will give forth its produce, its yield. Yivarchenu Elokim Elokeinu. May the Elokim who is Elokeinu, may he bless us. Study the whole Mizmar. Nowhere in the Mizmar do we mention Eretz Yisrael. It says with Eretz, Rav Kalman, you had a pshat in Pasuk Hey, the center branch, that it refers to Eretz Yisrael, but most of the Farshim, they learn that it's referring to the Goyim, the earth, the whole world. But there's no one that disagrees that in Pasuk Zayin, and according to Pasuk Pshat, it's the only Pasuk that makes mention of Eretz Yisrael. And not only does it make mention of Eretz Yisrael, it states that the land will give forth Yivula, an incredible bounty. And the Mefarshim here, there's a very famous Sipurno, which everyone who quotes the Sipurno is, it'll give forth so much, you'll be able to support other people. Maybe I should read it. The Sipurno is quoted by a lot of people on this pasuk. Yivarchenu pasuk Zayin, Eretz Nosna Yivula, V'yoyducha gam kein kol echad mei ishehem al shenosna aretz Yivula hamurgol, gam shalapam lo yaspik l'chol ani v'im zeh. I'm going to go further. Yivarchenu l'kim l'keinu b'oifen shenuchal l'farnes acherim. The land will give forth so much, you'll be able to do chesed and support other people. There's no greater happiness than being able to do chesed. So over here we're talking about the land is going to give forth yivula, its bounty, an abundance. When we learned this mizmar, I asked, what in the world is this doing here? It just doesn't fit into the theme of the other psukim. The other psukim will basically say the same thing, is that the goyim are going to praise Hashem when they see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech, and they see Hashem's majesty and the success of the Jewish people, the Goyim are going to praise Hashem. Every single pasuk says Kemat Dad in just different words. This pasuk is the only one that stands out differently, that doesn't fit into the theme of all the other pasukim we're talking. Oh, by the way, you should know that when Mashiach will come, Eretz Yisrael will give forth Yivulah, Yivarcheinu Elokim Elokeinu. Now, according to what we just said, this pasuk is the second to last pasuk, which corresponds to the second to last snare. The second to last snare is the Ner Ma'aravi, which Chazal said, which miraculously remained lit 24/7. And Chazal comment, this is the Eidus Shehashchina Shoira B'Yisrael. Now there's a very famous Chazal, and it's a fact, it's a historical fact, that no matter who attempts to occupy Eretz Yisrael in our absence, has no mazel and no success in developing the land. Klal Yisrael has been gone for, you know, has been gone for 1,900, I mean, the different tekufos, but they haven't had sovereignty over Eretz Yisrael until recent times, until the state of Israel. They haven't had sovereignty, and the land has always been under the authority of other nations, whether it's the Turks, the Christians, the Muslims, and this one or that one, the Romans. And what have they done with the land? Nothing. Nothing. No mazel. Whatever they tried to build, they never finished. And whatever they finished was eventually destroyed. Look at the Kosel HaMaravi. The Kosel HaMaravi, how many different, every other row of stones was built, was put there by another nation. It's almost funny. Where do you have a wall? Oh, the stones deep, deep down, buried in the very, very bottom, which you can't even see, so far down, were laid by David HaMelech. And then these stones were laid by this one, and this one, and Yimamish, oh, and the very top was put up by this one. It's funny. They're like you see the entire history of Eretz Yisrael in just who put this stone in this level, because they destroyed most of the Kosel at some point in time, and they rebuilt it. And as they rebuilt it, each row represents another generation of Goyim who occupied the land, and the most they can do is put up one row. And that's basically symbolic that Hashem always protected Eretz Yisrael from foreign invaders, from taking possession, because it's ours. And when they try to plant and they try to produce, nothing goes. The only one that has success is Klal Yisrael, like you see today. Say again? It will be desolate. When the enemies enter, it will be desolate. They're not going to have any success. Only Klal Yisrael will have success. That is, in itself, Eidus Shehashchina Shoira B'Yisrael. That reality of Jewish history, that anyone that attempts to come into this land and take possession and develop it with all the money in the world, all of whatever talents and success they may have had elsewhere, they have no success in cultivating the land. Only Klal Yisrael. Is this not Eidus Shehashchina Shoireh B'Yisrael? This is the ultimate Eidus, that Hashem will not allow a foreign nation to touch what belongs to us. And it's not a coincidence that this Mizmar, which corresponds to the Menorah, it's the Magen David, and the second to last Pasuk is the Pasuk that is written in the place of the Ner Ma'aravi, and it says, Eretz Nasina Yivula. The land will give forth its yield, and it will be enormous. Yivarcheinu Elokim Elokeinu. Only because Hashem is the God of the Jewish people. That is why He will guard the land, Eretz Yisrael, that it will only produce for us when it's in our possession. And this is an amazing miracle that has happened to the Jewish people from history. Isn't this in itself Eidus Shehashchina Shoireh B'Yisrael? You see here an incredible parallel to this. Okay, now let me give you another thing. Now, this thing is a little more controversial. I say this with a lot of reservation because I really don't have a good source. And maybe someone can help me with this. If I ask you to do some research on this. I mentioned this last time, and someone pointed out to me something which really blew my mind. It really blew my mind big when he told this to me. And the problem is I never really feel comfortable about this. And I told you what I'm going to tell you now. It comes from Rabbi Trugman. Rabbi Trugman, I forgot his first name. He writes very interesting books. They're off the beaten track. I have a lot of his farm. They're off the beaten track. They're not like, you don't see them in the yeshivish crowd. And he has a book on the Magen David, the modern Magen. I mean, whatever, this, the Ruzil HaMalach, the Magen David, on the flag of the state of Israel, the Magen David. And he has a wonderful book. The book is unbelievable. Kodesh Kodoshim. And he mentions this Kabbalistic concept. It's a Kabbalistic concept, but I can't find the Makar for one component, which bothers me very much. And he says, there are three Mogains, there are three shields. I told this over to some yeshivish people, and they frown at me. And they say, like, you know, my father was Rabbi of Young Israel, and he asked me to speak sometimes. I could say whatever I want, and no one would challenge me. I say the exact same drasha around the corner in a yeshiva, a little yeshiva, where there are guys there with payas and black hats. The first thing they say to me, who says this? Who says this? How can you say this? What's your source? Who says this? Mechatesa. In Young Israel, say whatever you want. No one's going to challenge you. Around the corner. They don't get it. Huh? Chodosh osur menatayra. Chodosh, you're saying a new chiddush? Your own chiddush? Who are you to say a chiddush? What's your source? Okay, so they get me scared, and they're right. They're definitely this. You have to be well rooted. There are three shields. Two of them we got no problem. Baruch Atah Hashem, Mogein Avraham. This is the Mogein Avraham. It's part of the Nusach HaTfilah. Avraham Altira Anoichi Mogein Loch. I got no problem with that. Baruch Atah Hashem, Mogein David, the Nusach HaTfilah, is the Mogein David. How many points is the Mogein David? Ruzil HaMalach. There are 6 points. That's the Mogein David. There are 6 points on the Mogein David. How many points are there? Once we know there's a Mogein Avraham, you don't have to have really a source. It's 8. Avraham was 8. Bris Milah, right? Bris Milah. L'mal derech HaTeva. I don't have any problem with that. I need a good source for the Mogein Shlomo. The Mogein Shlomo, there is no doubt about it. There is a tradition that Shlomo is associated with a shield of 5 points. I have a very hard time finding a legitimate source for this. There's a lot of Goyish stuff about this that is clearly not in our world. About the five star of 5 points, okay? Not in the Torah world. There's a lot of stuff which you have to really be very careful. And there is no question that it's mentioned. David also says in Sefer Melachim that Shlomo made shields. It's not called the Mogen in that pasuk. It's called a Tzina. A Tzina is also a shield out of special type of gold. I don't have the pasuk in front of me that Shlomo, he went and he fashioned for his army shields. A tzina, tzinois. I'm not sure I'm saying it correctly. A tzina is a shield out of zohov shachut, special type of gold. So there is no question that Shlomo HaMelech is associated with a shield. He made them. It says in the pasuk in Sefer Melachim, he made exotic shields for his army. But where does it come that the shield of Shlomo in Chazal's eyes has 5 points? I don't, this, go online, you'll see a lot of stuff about this. I get very nervous. I can't really repeat this in public. Even though here I am with you. I'm not afraid over here. Because we're very friendly, you know, we're very close and friendly. We can talk a little up because it's every class. I don't know. Rabbi Trugman says this is a fact. I have to go back to his book. I can't find his book somewhere at home. He says it as a fact that the Mogein of Shlomo is 5. I don't feel very comfortable with that. But that's what he says. So I have to show you a picture later. You go online, yeah, exactly. You go online, you'll see. He says it. Rabbi Trugman in my eyes is an Ish Neman. I have no, who am I to open my, he's an Ish Neman, he says it, I have to go back and study, okay. Then he goes on to say something which is a Kabbalistic thing. Again, I don't know where all this comes from, what's the sources for this? It gets me a little bit scary. There are three shields, the Magen Avraham, the Magen David, and the Magen Shlomo, 8, 5, and 6, or 8, 6, and 5. What does those numbers add up to? What does it say? I mean, what is the word? Chava. I mentioned this last time. Chava. Ches is Avraham. Vav is David. Hey is Shlomo. Chava. Rabbi Mayevsky, you told me that in that encyclopedia, what is it called, that encyclopedia? Ishe Yisrael? There's an encyclopedia of Jewish topics. Otzer Yisrael. I vaguely remember you telling me that in Otzer Yisrael, it says, talks about the Magen Shlomo of 5 points. So the Otzer Yisrael, so that's a legitimate, legit. Okay, so look there in Otzer Yisrael. You once told me that that's what you saw this. The Otzer Yisrael talks about the Magen Shlomo of being 5. Now, if this is true, then there's the next level. I'm getting somewhere with this, which really blew my mind. Chava. Ches Vav Hey, 8, 6, 5, and we mention Chava. What is an Isha? What is a woman? Can you define a woman? Yes, I can. A woman is 8, 6, 5. A woman combines the best of Avraham, Shlomo, and David, and they serve as a shield, as a mogain to their husband. And that's why they go around the husband 7 times under the chuppah. Chava is the best, captures the shield of Avraham, Shlomo, David and Shlomo. I told you that last week. Now, I told this over to somebody, and they said to me, I'll tell you better. Add up the numbers. Have any mathematicians here? 8, 6, 5 equals 19. Go to Mizmor Yutess. Okay, I go to Mizmor Yutess. Mizmor Yutess. We say this every Shabbos. Lanatzeach Mizmor Ledov Yan Hashem B'Yom Tzara. Oh, look at that. A war. A Yom Tzara. You need a shield. Yes. What? I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Go back. Okay, I'm not done yet. I'm not out yet for the punch. Okay, I'll go back. Don't worry, I got the good stuff here. Lanatzech Mizmor Ledov Hashemayim Esam Kvod Keel Lemasi the Magid Rukia. Yoim liyoim ya bi oimer v'layla l'layla yichaveh do'as. Yichaveh. Okay, yichaveh means to speak. How many times would yichaveh appear in Tanakh? Not too many times. It's not a very popular word. What are the chances that would yichaveh, Chava, Ches Vav Hey, would appear in Mizmor Yutess, of this coming together? Now, look what it says in this Mizmor. V'hu kichasan yaitzei b'chol ha'aretz yatzav kavam v'vikzei sevim aleim la'shemesh sam ohel bohem. For the sun Hashem set the sun in a tent. Like a gibar. A gibar's way, like a mogain. And then it goes on to talk about Torah. Torah Hashem Timima, Meshivas Nofesh, Eidus Hashem Nemona Machimas Pese, Bikudi Hashem Yisharm. It goes on to talk about Torah. All about Torah. Yehula wrote to him, if you take him to Hashem, Tsuri v'goali. What is the ultimate Magen? This is famous Chazal. Mitzvahs are Magen b'idna. Chazal tell us a mitzvah only protects you when you are engaged in doing the mitzvah. But Torah protects you even when you stop learning. A person fills up his
his tank with learning. You learn until 12 o'clock, and you go downstairs, you're safe. No one's going to attack you downstairs. When you leave the building, I can't tell. But Torah is Megan. Torah is the ultimate, Chazal, the Gemara somewhere, is the ultimate form of protection. Not only is it Megan Be'idna, when you're learning, it's Megan even when you stop learning. Halay Dovar, is it a coincidence? Is it a coincidence that Chava, Chesvav, hey, adds up to 19, and in Mizmor 19, it says the word Yechaveh Do'as, talks about the Gibor, Yosef's Gibor, Gibor, who Gibor, and then it begins to talk about Torah, and Torah is the ultimate Hagana, protection. There's something over here, there's something over here that has to be dealt with. The only missing weak link is we have to really get down to the root. Avraham and David, we got no problem. That's pretty solid. He has also Rabbi Trugman has some very good stuff to show also that Avraham is the Magen of eight. That's people don't talk about that. And David, the Magen David, the Rizil HaMalach, that's very well grounded. But Shlomo being the Magen of five in a Yiddish Mesorah needs to be better understood. Now, let's go back to my original question. My original question is, what is the Menorah doing here in the beginning of Parshas Bahalitzchah? Okay, that's how we started the question. We're all coming back to this question. Parshas Bahalitzchah, it deals with a collection of ideas. Pesach Sheni, it deals with the trumpets of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Masois, Al Pi Hashem Yachnu, Al Pi Hashem Yisod, the Amud Ha'on, Amud Ha'esh, war, Vahibin Tsoi, what's going on over here? The Levim being joining the service, the whole process. So I want to suggest, based upon this idea that the Menorah represents the Mogein, L'Natzeach B'Neginas Mizmor Shir, it's the Mogein, there appears to be a pattern or a to make sense of the Parsha. The Parsha, the climax to a degree in this Parsha is when they finally begin to travel. Vayihi bin Soya Haroin Vayoyme Moshe. That's the climax. After that, it's all downhill. The Misoinanim, everything turns sour once we get past that. But the Parsha is building up to the climax of, it's now time to get into your vehicles and let's get going. The journey to Eretz Yisrael begins. That's what's happening in the sixth parsha. Until now, there's no journey. We left, it was Yitzias Mitzrayim. We left Mitzrayim. Hashem brought us the Mata Har Sinai. He gave us the Torah. We did the Egel, and then we had to go do Teshuvah, and part of doing Teshuvah was to build the Mishkan. So now, we're back where we started. Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kabbalah HaTorah, the whole Torah with the Mishkan. And now, what's next? Now, in Parashas Bahalotzchah, the journey begins. We now are going to travel into Eretz Yisrael. You know what that means? It means war. Okay, when they declared the State of Israel in 1948, what did that mean? It was a happy moment? We're fools to think it was a happy moment. It wasn't a happy day. When they declared, when the United Nations accepted Israel as a state, you know what that mean? You know what that meant? It meant one thing only. People are going to die. It was basically the next day is all of the Arab nations together declared war on Israel. They were shaking in their pants. No, they were mamish sitting by the. You listen to the history of what exactly when they knew that when the United Nations would approve, it meant one thing: the war of independence. Pachat pachadim, mamish. They weren't celebrating in 1948 when they declared. It was just the beginning of a very long, painful, extremely painful anxiety that can't even be defined of what was going on in the whole country. We're a state. Yeah, you know what it means to be a state? It means to go to war. It means all of the Arab nations just going to want to destroy us. And that's what happened. War of independence broke out. How many people died?
Beginning of 7 years war.
Over 5,000. Unbelievable. It was a horror. Okay, was it really worth it? Well, we were so happy. Go to the Israeli Day Parade. Yeah, Israeli Day Parade. Yeah, yeah. You know, the people gave up for this, that there should be an Israeli day of the parade. Well, they gave up. What happened? Well, back then, it's not to be believed. So, guess what? Nothing changed. When Klal Yisrael, okay, we're now going into Eretz Yisrael. Oh, really? You left Egypt, you got the Torah, you built the Mishkan, and now we're going into Eretz Yisrael. You know what that meant? That's a declaration of war. The moment they set out from Har Sinai on their first step, the first step they took, leaving Har Sinai, the entire world declared war on Klal Yisrael. Who do you think you are to go conquer Eretz Yisrael? Who do you think you are? It was a declaration of war. So when you go to war, what is the whole parasha doing? And where does the war begin? Where does the war begin? The war begins with the upside down nuns. Vayihi bin Soya ha'aroin. The aroin led Klal Yisrael on their journey to go into Eretz Yisrael. Vayoyime Moshe kumo Hashem. V'yafutsu oyevecha. V'yanusu misnecha miponecha. We're in a lot of trouble now. We need the Aron to go in front of us to fight our enemies. It was war. Everything in the beginning of Parshas Bahaloscha is the Hachon for Mulchama. First, no, right after the Menorah, Levim. Levim, we need recruits. We need people to carry the Mishkan. Who's going to carry the Mishkan in the desert? Who's going to carry the Mishkan, the Aron, as we travel? The Levim. Moshe Rabbeinu teaches them about the trumpets. When I blow this signal, it means this. When I blow this, you do this. When we do this, you hear this sound, shelter in place. You hear this trumpet, everyone come together. The leaders come together, the people come together. When there's the Amud Anon, Amud Eish, this is how we go. We learn about the Degolim, the formation of the Degolim, Nochamol and Parashas Baalayz, how they all get together. One thing that stands out that's a little difficult is Pesach Sheni. What is Pesach Sheni doing here in this parsha? Well, there's one thing about Pesach Sheni that's called Derech Rechoika. You're far away. I want to suggest that in the parsha of Pesach Sheni, it teaches you how to deal with sanctity when you're B'Derech Rechoika. Why did the person not bring his Korban Pesach? There were people who did not bring the Korban Pesach is because they were distant.
Or Tumeim.
Or Tumeim.
If they're going to war, you could say they were going to
be. That needs to be nuanced. But besides that, everything fits like a glove. But
according to Chazal, if they were going to go into Eretz Yisrael now, they would have gone in without war. Then I'll be next.
Well, I want to explain that is why the Menorah is the beginning of the parsha. The whole parsha is all the steps that we need in order to prepare to declare war. The declaration of war was Vayihi ben Soharin. We're going into Eretz Yisrael. Watch out. Kananim, get out. Get out. Listim atem. The first Rashi. Get out. Who do you think you are? The Am Hashem. With the Am Hashem, get out. Listen to the moment they left Har Sinai, it was declaration of war. Everything in the beginning of Bahaloscha is a preparation to declare war. And the first thing is bear arms. Every individual take up a weapon. And what is your weapon? Bahaloscha es haneros. El mul pnei ha-menorah ye'iru shivas haneros. The menorah is the weapon. When David went out to war, David went out with the Mogen David, which was the Lanatzeach b'Neginos Mizmor Shir, the Menorah, the Tzura of the Menorah to be Makir, the Torah Shebal Peh, is your weapon, and in all of its elaborate forms, this is the weapon. So the beginning of Parshas Bahaloscha in essence is every single individual. You have to have a weapon. And what is your weapon? The Mogen of the Menorah. And then, we now have to have formation. We have to have people to carry the Kalim. Levim, take your position. Klal Yisrael, get into position as well, the Golem. These are the signals. When I blow this trumpet, it means this. This trumpet, it means that. This Shofar, the Trois, the Chatzoitrois. And everyone, battle positions, battle stations. The Degolim, Nachamol, the Degolim. Well, are we ready now? We're ready. Vayehi ben Soyha Arayin. The menorah is a central component because the menorah is the Mogain. It is the weapon, it is the shield. The Chashmonoim. That was their weapon. It was David's weapon. Lamatzech ben Neginos Mizmor. When you dive into Hashem, you come with weapons. You can't come with a gun, has to stay outside the shul. Because you have much better weapons in shul. In shul, you got the menorah. The menorah is the weapon, the chashivus, the hakara of the Torah HaKadosha is the ultimate weapon, the ultimate protection to survive in this world. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, have a wonderful day. No, I talk about this. This is about this. This. Different. Have a great day.
Hi, it's a very nice lecture. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.